Okay, what do you do? Okay, well, the treatment that most individuals choose is Botox injections. Okay, and on the video at the bottom of, or in the middle of this slide, they have, shows you the Botox injection. So you'll see it has a very, very long needle. Some people do go in through the mouth to inject the vocal folds, but what you're taking is a little bit of Botox, okay, and you're injecting it in adductor spasmodic dysphonia in the adductor muscles, usually the thyroarytenoid in this case, and an abductor. My abductor patient said he actually had it injected into the PCA, which makes sense because that's your only abductor muscle, which is a little more difficult because that's in the back of your neck. But the idea is when you inject the Botox, and the doctors will play with this a little bit, they'll put in certain amounts and sometimes they'll inject both sides or one side as they figure out what gives you the best treatment. But what you're doing is injecting the Botox into the muscle. And what it does is temporarily paralyze it, for lack of a better term, okay? What it does is it goes in and it makes the muscle not able to tense as much. And what that does is make the voice sound more natural. So it's a very quick fix. These patients love it. They will come in, you know, you need to present all options. But this is the one that takes the least amount of effort on their, you know, time because, and I'll explain, it's not simple for them, but, you know, they get the injection and that alone should help the voice get better. Now, they should come in for some voice therapy to maximize the use of the Botox, but that doesn't always happen. The Botox injections, like I said, are the treatment of choice. But you have to remember that some patients may not respond well to the Botox. Others may choose not to do it because it is expensive. It doesn't always get covered by insurance. It costs about $250, last I checked, 4 or 5 years ago, so it may have been up a little bit, for each injection. And you come in every 3 months because it wears off. Okay, so it may last as long as 6 months, but that's about as long as it's going to last. So you have to come back in for yet another injection. So it can be expensive. The patients that I see come in for regular Botox injections. They know when to come. They call ahead. They're funny. I'm going on a cruise in a month, so I wanted to come in and get my injection today. And then that'll give me 2 weeks to get better, so I'm talking well when I'm on the cruise. Or I've got a big court case coming up. So they really do plan their life around their injections. Now, you heard what I said, 2 weeks. What happens with the Botox is that it does limit the movement of the vocal cords, and so there's a period of time afterwards that the voice is very much affected. It can be very breathy. There could be some swallowing difficulties. So this is where the doctor monitors, especially when they first start injections, to see how much they really need and you know, how bad the symptoms are. But it takes about 2 weeks for their voice to come back to normal. And it's not totally normal, but it's much easier for them to produce voice. And it'll last about 3 months. And so a lot of times the patients will track it and they'll see, you know, how it, you know, it gets better and then it plateaus and then it gets worse again and they know when to come in. So this is the most common treatment procedure. It is the one supported by the National Spasmodic Dysphonia Association. Okay. They used to do surgery. Okay, they used to do what was called the DEDO procedure, capital D-E-D-O, it's a guy's name. And what that involved was severing the recurrent laryngeal nerve, just one of them, okay? And when you sever, mean cut it, it paralyzes the vocal fold, okay? So if they paralyzed the cord, then they couldn't get as tight closure. So the idea behind that procedure was that it would paralyze the cord, so therefore they couldn't get the tight closure. And that did work to a certain extent, although I worked with a German physician when I was the lab director up at the Institute for Advanced Study of Communication Processes. We used to have postdocs come in, and I would work with them. And she was looking at all of the DEDO procedure files from Shands Teaching Hospital, and what we found was that after about a year, the voice went back to the bad spasmodic dysphonia. So you went in, you paralyzed the vocal cord, and it still came back. And that happens in a great number of patients. So that procedure has become less and less popular because now you've damaged the vocal cord for good and you still didn't get rid of the spasmodic dysphonia. But there's a newer procedure called the denervation-renervation procedure, or the Day-Ray procedure, that you'll hear on the video here, which gives you a very excellent description. And they're going in and they're doing a little bit more selective severing of muscle fibers and nerves in particular to produce some produce paralysis in there so that you don't get tight closure. Newer procedure, been out about 10 years probably. They provide a really good description on here. I've not seen anybody get this. It's very popular out on the West Coast. And it has longer term effects. So that's better. It does what Botox does, but you don't have to go in every 3 months. So you definitely want to watch that video because it does explain these procedures and these are the two top things that are going on. Now, flip, voice therapy. I'm a strong believer, as most speech-language pathologists, is that voice therapy is necessary after either one of those procedures to maximize the use of the drug or the surgery. It gives the patient some better strategies, helps them speak without tension, you know, better cues, things like that. So, you know, just straight voice therapy, just helping them produce good voice and keeping it for a longer period of time. But there are some people out there that are totally opposed to these medical treatments and suggest that it is purely a behavioral, psychological type of thing, and it does get better. And they're not saying crazy psychological, just saying that you can control the spasms. And so the voice therapy focuses on that. Morton Cooper is the primary person behind this. He's the speech pathologist, self-proclaimed speech pathologist to the stars. You'll see him on some of the talk shows every now and then. He's a big proponent of voice therapy with spasmodic dysphonia patients, and he cures them. I would say that most speech-language pathologists say that we don't have a good track record in this, that we're better off after one of the medical procedures working with them. So it's something for you to consider. You will run across people, even in our spasmodic dysphonia group, that don't want to go here. They're more into, some of them are using yoga and things to calm themselves down. So you do have to present all three options, and some people will go for it. I think for the voice therapy, I'm just saying, we need some more evidence base out there. The evidence base is fairly strong for Botox, although we haven't done a lot on the treatment aspect, the voice therapy aspects of it. And the voice therapy for SD alone is not that effective. But I want you to know that there are people out there that are very strong proponents and will actually, be negative to people who get Botox. Now, that's a very brief overview of spasmodic dysphonia. It's a common disorder, one that you may or may not see too often.